And this will be a different angle on this text than what we took today, as we talked about the place of full price. The place of full price this morning. Tonight I want to speak to you on the subject, don't hold back the price. Don't hold back the price. A little different thought from this same passage of Scripture, 1 Chronicles 21. And we're going to begin reading in verse 22, like we did this morning, and read through verse 26. Same Scriptures. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. I'll read the even verses, if you'll please join me again on the odd-numbered verses, 22 through 26, 1 Chronicles 21. Then David said to Ornan, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Ornan said unto David, "Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all." And King David said to Ornan, "Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost." So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. Let's pray before the special, as we always do. Father, we bow for just a moment here. This is not ritual. This is not just so the singer can come get in place. This is because we're about to enter the most important part of this service. Lord, when we open your book and begin to preach it, the singing is wonderful. The fellowship of greeting each other is great. Lord, the time of visiting over from the pulpit is necessary. But Lord, the preaching of your word is preeminent, and we need your help. So bless us tonight. Open our hearts to this truth, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
There's
for us tonight. I like that last stanza of that song. Goes along a little bit tonight with the theme of the message on don't hold back the price. David said in verse 22, I want to pay the full price. And then he said again in verse 24, you're not going to give this to me. I'm going to pay the full price. So I'm speaking tonight on the subject, don't hold back the price. Don't hold back the price. Let's ask God to bless our time in His book. Lord Jesus, thank You for this story. Thank You for preserving it for us in Your book. May we, in this year of 2005, learn something from this event that happened some thousand years ago. Teach us from it, Lord, and may our hearts be challenged about David's attitude here. And help me, dear Spirit of God, clear my mind, give my voice clarity, Lord. My throat's a little raspy for some reason. I pray that You'll give us clarity of mind and speech. And Lord, more than anything, help us to open our hearts to Your Spirit. May the Spirit of God have liberty in this time, please, to do in our hearts that which He wants to do. That's why we're here. I hope we're not here for a show. God, we need to come to get something from Your book. So do something in our hearts tonight. In Christ's name I pray and amen. Quickly, I want to review the story that I related this morning because many of you were teaching at 11 o'clock and so forth and so on in the nursery and the primary church. David has sinned grievously against the Lord. He numbered the people of the land to see how many men armed for battle he had for his army. Now, God did not want him to number the people because David's strength, Israel's strength, was never found in the number of men that were armed for battle. Israel's strength was always found in its God, Jehovah. He said, one of you will chase 10,000, or 10 of you will chase, 100 of you will chase 10,000. So there was no need to number these men. God said, let me go to war with you, and you'll be all right. But David persisted in his stubborn will, like many of us do in other areas, and he numbered the people. Oh, it burnt the Lord up. And he sent Gad. God sent Gad, the prophet, and he said, you go tell David he's got three choices for punishment. Here are his choices. He can choose one of the three. 3 more years famine, because they'd already been in famine. He said that they could have 3 months destruction at the hand of their enemy, or they could have 3 days of the sword of the Lord in the hand of an angel, destroying the people with a pestilence. Now, I'm not sure David understood the full consequences of that third thing, but that's what he chose. And his reason was he preferred to fall into the hand of the mercies of God than in the cruelty of men. And so he said, I'll take number 3. I'll take the sword of the Lord in the hand of the angel. And he hoped that God would have mercy on him and the people. 70,000 people died. Men. 70,000 men died. Again, I am not minimizing the sin of adultery and murder, which David committed with Bathsheba and Uriah earlier in his life. But I'll just say to you, only 4 people died as a result of those sins. 70,000 people died as a result of this sin. Now, you asked me to explain that, folks. I can't explain that, but I'm not going to change it. It says what it says there. Only 4 died, and 70,000 died here. And so it made the Lord upset. Now, this plague is going on. 70,000 bodies. As I said this morning, you know, we had almost 3,000 killed on 9/11. And oh, how that affected us. We thought, good grief. And then you had this recent catastrophe down here in the Gulf of Mexico. But you're talking about 70,000. That's a ton. As I said this morning, that's almost the combined populations of Bradley, Bourbonnais, and Kankakee proper. Almost 70,000 people died. Now, in the midst of this plague, David asked God, stop, stop this plague. Oh, God, please, what do we have to do to stop this plague? And so God told him. He said, you go over to Ornan, the Jebusite's place, and you buy that threshing floor, and you build an altar there, and you offer a sacrifice, and I'll stop the plague. So that's what David did. He went to Ornan's place. David was the king. So Ornan came out and he did what all people did in that day, as was the custom. He bowed his face to the ground because here came King David. And what can I do for you? And King David said, I want to buy your threshing floor. I want to pay full price for it. And David said, no. I mean, Ornan said, no, no, absolutely not. Man, you're the king. Here, take the threshing floor. In fact, you can have the instruments of wood. You can have everything in here that's on here. You can just take it. Whatever you need, you just take it. It's yours, lock, stock, and barrel. And David said in verse 24, I'm not doing that. I'm going to pay the full price. I want to pay the full price for this piece of real estate. And so Ornan sold it to him for 600 shekels of gold, I believe we read in verse number 23 there, 25, 600 shekels of gold by weight. So David paid the full price. This became the place of full price. And as I said this morning, on this very spot, some years later, David's son Solomon built the temple. And here was the altar. What took place on the altar for years and years? Sacrifices were made on that altar. Sacrifices. Never did pay for sin in full. Always a partial payment. Always covering for a year. Always a promissory note. Always a down payment. But never paid the price in full. But some years later, after Jesus was condemned to die by the Israelis, the Jewish people and the Roman government, they took Jesus just a few yards away from this very place. Outside the temple, outside the gate of the city, on the same mountain range was Mount Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the skull. And there, on that spot, God made full price for man's sin. He gave the best gift He could. He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus held nothing back. He gave everything. That's why I like that song and the end of that song. When you look at what the Lord did for us, it demands my soul, my life, my all. He paid full price. Now, this became the spot, the place of full price. Now, a different angle on this story then for our thoughts tonight. Who wants to pay full price for anything these days? What is every consumer looking for when it comes to making a purchase? You're looking for that four-letter word. S-A-L-E. And retailers know it. They put one up, put the sign up even when there's not one going on. It just draws attention. Sale. 50% off. Buy one, get one free. Here's another word that grabs you ladies' attention when you walk into a store. It's the word clearance. Amen? That grabs the attention of most independent fundamental Baptist ladies. Amen? Clearance. That's right where you go. I do the same thing, but not at Penny's or Carson. I do that at Bass Pro. Amen? And Cabela's and Gander Mountain and those type places where people go that are sane and have sane things to do. But not at these other places. All right? I look for the word clearance. And why? Because there's something over there. Sometimes at Cabela's, they'll have the basement attic or the bargain basement or something like that. And there are catalog returns. People or men will order things out of the Cabela's catalog. And they won't fit or they'll use it for a while, send it back. And then they'll put it in their bargain basement. And I bought a pair of binoculars. A nice pair of Zeiss binoculars some years ago in the bargain basement. And I got a bargain basement price for those expensive binoculars. How much will you take? How much will you take off? How much will you knock off? And now the words that's really swept the nation, employee discount for everyone. Amen. Pay what our employees pay. But, you know, retailers don't pay big dollars to advertise in newspapers and on the radio that they are having full price days. Y'all come. We're having full price days. Nothing will be taken off. Nothing will be discounted. There'll be nothing on the clearance rack. Everything is at full price. I haven't seen an advertisement like that recently. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen one like that in my whole life. That's not happening. Sales and coupons and save some money, and that's not bad. That's good. Some of you ladies are coupon hounds. That's a bad word. I shouldn't have said that. Coupon, something better than hounds. Because I appreciate it. I mean, man, you're after those coupons. Clip, 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 clip. Now, you got to be a little wise. You don't want to drive 15 miles to save 25 cents. Especially this day and age with these gas prices. But you say, hey, fellas, you know what? If you got a wife that goes to the newspaper and clips those coupons out and works hard to save your hard-earned money at the grocery store, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. And thrifty shoppers are a blessing. And going to secondhand stores. And all of why? Because none of us want to pay full price. We don't want to pay full price. Who wants to pay full price? Now, folks, look, that's okay when it comes to cars, groceries, furniture, clothes, houses, all these other things, that's okay. But we must not have that mentality when it comes to spiritual blessings. And that's part of our problem in the 21st century. As 21st century Christians, we want something for nothing when it comes to spiritual blessings. We have allowed the craving for saving to creep over into our idea of what we want to spend for God's blessings. There are some blessings in life that only come at full price. They are not discounted. They do not go on sale. They are not negotiable. They're never placed on the clearance rack. And our problem is, we're living in the save society, and we want the same thing that with spiritual blessings that we have with retail goods. We want a discount. And brother, I'm here to tell you that spiritual blessings don't come at a discount. They just don't. Now listen, let me say that any blessing God gives us is not based on our merit, but on His mercies. Amen. Now, you want a good picture of that? You just read the book of Daniel sometime. Those boys got in a fix over there, and they needed God's help in that situation when Nebuchadnezzar had that dream of that image. And he said, if you don't tell me the dream and the interpretation, I'm going to cut your heads off. And boy, Daniel went in and he asked for time. And he got with his friends and they got on their knees. And the Bible says they desired the mercies of the God of heaven. They said, God, please don't give us what we deserve. We don't come to you with any merit. We come to you on the basis of your mercy. That's a good way to start your prayer time. Go to God on the basis of His mercy. And I'm not suggesting that we can earn blessings by being so good and congratulating ourselves and patting ourselves on the back and all of that. But I am saying this tonight, folks, on the other side of that coin, there is a price to be paid for spiritual blessings. Salvation is free to anyone who will receive it. I'll believe that with all of my heart. I'll always believe that. I'll believe that to my dying day by God's grace, because that's what the Bible teaches. Salvation is free. I love what Peter and John told the man at the Gate Beautiful in Acts chapter 3. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. I love the phrase of the song. The songwriter wrote, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Salvation is free. Eternal life, my home in heaven, all of that's paid for in full with the offering and sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But the blessings of God, once I'm saved, pardon my throat, I don't know what's happened. This just came on the last hour and a half. The blessings of God, once I'm saved, are contingent on us at least making the effort, putting forth a spirit of obedience. And some of us are in this business of looking for a spiritual blessing at a discount price. We're holding back the price that we're willing to pay to get God's blessing. And it's not going to happen, folks. You've got to be willing to pay full price. You know the story over there in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. All right? They're getting saved. Folks are getting baptized. Church is growing. And Barnabas feels led of God to take some land that he owned in Cyprus and sell it. And when he got the money, he brought it to Jerusalem, brought it to the apostles' feet, and said, "Here." Now, that was never commanded by God. Barnabas just did that. He's led of the Lord to do it. Nothing wrong with Barnabas doing it. That's what he did. I don't know if it became the thing to do or what. So Ananias and Sapphira, they sold some of their land. And the Bible says that they kept back part of the price. They kept back part of the price. They didn't give their all. They wanted to be a part of what was happening. Maybe they wanted the notoriety of Barnabas. Instead of notoriety, they live in infamy. They're known as the ones who dropped dead, and they buried husband and then buried wife right after that, lying to the Holy Ghost about paying the full price. They kept back part of the price. If you're looking for a spiritual blessing, you can't keep back part of the price. You've got to have the attitude David had. I'm going to pay full price. I'm going to pay whatever it requires. I'm going to do what it takes.
I'm going to put forth the effort to get God's blessing. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about His blessing. Now, some of you fellows are willing to put forth the price and not keep back anything with part of the price when it comes to work to get a promotion. You know, Scott, there was a Scott. Yes, Scott gave testimony this morning in our class. He got a pay raise, and that was wonderful. And he gave a testimony this morning. I said, anybody got a blessing to share? And Scott said, yeah, I do. He said, I got a pay raise, and my boss quit. I don't know how I'm supposed to take that. Amen. So, at prayer request time, Brother Bibb says, can we pray for my boss to quit? Oh, man alive, that tickled me. But anyway, no, Brother William, we can't pay for your boss to quit. Amen. We can't pray for that. But some of you fellows, when you go to work, you don't hold back a thing. Why? You want a promotion. You want a pay increase. Anything wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But fellas, if you're willing to do that for monetary pay increase, for a promotion in your line of work, have the same attitude when it comes to the spiritual blessings God is wanting and waiting to give each one of us. Let's be willing to pay the full price. Ananias and Sapphira kept back part of the price. By the way, let me say this. There will be no financial blessings if you keep back part of the price of the tithe. And that's not the gist of my message tonight. But man, I taught that. I have a lot of young couples in my Sunday school class up there, couples that have been married for sometimes a month or less or 2 months. And a lot of young couples have been married for just a few years. And we're talking about the foundation of a marriage and a home. And some things that you've got to put first. And I talked this morning about, man, don't start off on the wrong foot by robbing God of the tithe. Don't keep that back. And I say that to the whole church tonight. You say, well, the church must need money. No, the church is doing good. God has blessed us. Our offerings have been good this summer. And I appreciate your faithfulness. A lot of times the summer is just, you hang on. But you've been very faithful this summer. And I say thank you. And I've said that more than once this summer. Guys, I've not had that burden on my shoulders this summer. I appreciate that. But I'm saying it for anybody's sake here tonight that's not got this thing of tithing down. Don't you keep back part of the price of the tithe. I know gas money's gone. Gas costs have gone up. I know the cost of retail goods has gone up because the cost of gas has gone up. We were out soul winning yesterday. Got a little warm. We stopped at a little gas station to get a drink. Bottle of juice, $1.69. I'm not going to pay that for a bottle of juice. $1.69. I thought, goodness gracious, 8 10-ounces of liquid. $1.69. Prices have gone up. Here comes the temptation to hold back part of the tithe. When things get tight, don't take that approach, people, please. You young couples especially, don't take that approach. God knows you need to be faithful in your giving. You want His blessings. You pay the full price for that. You pay the full price for that. God will bless you for it. I said this morning, the Bible says honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all thine increase. Look here, folks. Do you think God needs this? God does not need this. When you put this in the plate, it's not for God. God doesn't need it. But when you put this in the plate, you're honoring God. When you put your tithe in the plate, God reaches down. He doesn't take the money, but He takes the honor that goes along with you and me giving Him the tithe. And He says, thank you. And the Lord will be debtor to no man. So if I have given honor to Him, guess what? He's going to return to me. Amen. Sure. And I said this morning, God's blessings don't always come back in the form of green dollar bills. Amen. Huh? It's not just what you're doing to yourself financially. Maybe what you're doing to your marriage. Maybe what you're doing to your kids. Maybe what you're doing to other things in life when you hold back the honor that is rightly God's when you give. We are on the same page with this, aren't we? It's a little quiet in here right now, but you are with me on this. Don't hold back the full price of that tithe. You know, I wasn't even going to get into that. Maybe it's a good thing I did. Don't hold back. They held back the full price, Ananias and Sapphira. And in a real sense, God's people are guilty of what Ananias and Sapphira did. We're guilty of keeping back part of the price. We want the blessings for a little less. We're looking for the results, but we do not want to expend the effort. We don't want to pay the price. And by the way, sometimes we look at people who are successful in certain areas and we come to the conclusion that the difference is those people who are successful, that we just had a little less luck. Or they had a little bit different advantage on their part. The truth is, their success has nothing to do with luck or advantage. Their success has everything to do with God's blessings, and they got it because they were willing to pay the full price. Full price. Pay the full. Don't hold back the price. Don't keep back the price. Let me say two or three things tonight. Number one, pay the price when it comes to the direction of your heart. Pay the price when it comes to the direction of your heart. Look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23. I think you'll see what I mean by these words in this verse right here. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Pay the price when it comes to the direction, of your heart. Proverbs 4 and 23. I want you to see these words because I think this gives the indication, the insinuation of paying the full price. The wise man wrote to his son in this chapter, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart. Guard it. Walk sensually around it. Above all keeping. That's what it means here. Keep above all keeping. Keep your heart. Pay the price to guard your heart. Don't hold anything back when it comes to guarding your heart. Don't keep back the price when it comes to guarding your heart, Christian. Pay the full price when it comes to guarding your heart. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Folks, look, your physical heart, this muscle in your chest cavity tonight, that physical heart is what keeps your physical life going. The blood coming in and going out of this heart keeps you alive. That's why all the emphasis on take care of your heart. Take care of your heart. Watch your cholesterol. Watch your weight. Exercise. Watch your heart. Keep a good heart. Keep a check on your heart. You get to a certain age, have your heart checked. Doesn't hurt to do that. Why all this emphasis on your heart? Because the heart is the very core thing here that keeps our physical life going. Now, the same is true spiritually speaking. The heart is the core of your person. We say the heart spiritually. We're not talking about this muscle right here. When we use the heart spiritually speaking, we're talking about the inner person you are. Where you think, how you feel, and make decisions. Your mind, your emotions, your will. Guard those things. Pay the full price to guard your mind, your emotions, and your actions, your choices. And by the way, it all begins with the mind. What the mind thinks about affects your feelings, and it eventually will help, will make you decide to do what you do. Your mind will control your emotions and your actions. Guard your mind. Guard your mind with all diligence. Pay the full price to guard your mind. Keep sentry around your mind. Why? Because the direction of your life issues from your heart. Guard your mind, your thoughts. How do you do that? Be careful what comes in the eye gate and be careful what comes in the ear gate. What comes in the ear gate and the eye gate goes directly to the mind, your heart. The very core of you. And you begin to think on that. And that affects your emotions and then your feelings. And pretty soon you're making decisions based on emotions and feelings instead of principle. Now listen, if you have been taught from this book, if you have been taught line upon line, precept upon precept, cross-referencing scriptures, if you've been taught on manners of doctrine, faith, and practice from the Word of God, then you be sure that when you hear or see something comes into your mind and alarms go off and flags start waving, because it's contrary to what you have been taught from this book. You cannot ignore that. You can't take a careless approach to it. You can't say, oh, it won't bother me. You must pay the price to guard your heart. Say something. Satan can mess a person up real quick. You know what Jeremiah 17:9 says? The heart is deceitful above all things. That's not talking about this muscle. That's talking about my thoughts, my feelings, where I make choices. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the truth of the matter is, our minds have the potential to deceive us horribly. To think that we're doing right when in effect we're not. To cause us to question truths, principles that we've been taught from this book right here. Our minds can distort, exaggerate, work a number on us, deceive us. I didn't say that. God said that. I can deceive myself if I'm not careful. That's why I've got to walk guard. I've got to pay full price to watch, guard, keep my mind. So what do? When you hear something or see something from another preacher, from another Christian, from somebody on the radio, from somebody at work, they say something contrary to what you have been taught line upon line, precept upon precept. What do? When those alarms go off and those flags start waving, you run to the Bible and you check out what you have been taught and you weigh it against what you've heard or you weigh it against what you've seen and you guard your heart. You pay the full price to make sure that your heart's not going to change directions on you. Pay the full price, folks. I'm telling you what, deception is the current, in my mind, deception is the current tool of the devil. Look, I've had people professing to be saved sit in my presence and claim that their homosexuality, their sodomy, was not against the Bible. And in their minds, convinced of it. You say, oh, they're just pulling you. No, convinced. In their minds, convinced that other sins that are so wrong are okay. How does that happen? It happens when you and I don't guard our hearts. Pay the full price. Be diligent. Walk guard around your heart. Look, I would be very careful. If I had been reared in church and Sunday school in a church that believed this book, if I've been reared in a church that believes this book, if I had been taught at line upon line, precept upon precept, cross-referencing here a little and there a little, if I had been taught doctrine, faith, and practice from this book right here, I'd be very careful about letting an outside source change my mind. I'd be very careful about that. I've told you this before. Let me take it a step further tonight. If this is the straight and narrow, if this is the way God wants me to walk, if this is my faith and practice right here, okay? And I take the liberty to change this path 3 degrees to the left. It's not so bad right now. But you give that thing 10 years. And I'm going to be a lot further away from where I was when I started back here. But now let me take it a step further. Parents, you change it 3 degrees. What are your children going to do? So if they change it the same number of degrees, now they've changed it how much? 6 degrees. How about your grandchildren? They change it 9 degrees. Do you understand that in a few generations, your posterity can be so far removed from the truth of this book right here, it would be unbelievable. They basically could be lost people living and dying without Christ and going to hell. It's serious. I would not. I'm puzzled. I'm frustrated. I'm aggravated. Yep. And I'm man enough that I even get mad to watch these young people come through Sunday school and good homes who've been taught right, and you get married, and all of a sudden you're going to take the liberty to change course from how your parents reared you. I'm going to tell you something. You better think twice before you do that. And I tell you what, I talk to people who are battling this. battling this thing of standards and battling this thing of convictions in this day and age. And man, we still wear dresses. And I know so-and-so, and so-and-so said this, and so-and-so said doesn't mean that, and so-and-so said it means something different, and this means this, and this means this. And I just don't know what to believe. That's it. That's what I'm talking about. When you get to that place, man alive, when you're confused, you got to run back to the Bible. You don't run to an example over here or an example over here or an example in the past. You run to the Word of God. What was I taught? What did the Bible say? And you nail it down. And you don't change. You stay on course. You stay on guard your heart. Look, folks, if I don't guard my heart as a pastor of 15 years in this pulpit and 25 years of the full-time ministry, I can get off course if I don't guard my heart. Sure. Sure I can. Sure can you. So can anybody who doesn't pay the full price to guard their heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Let me tell you something. The old-time religion that you were taught from this book is still good in 2005. It'll be good for your kids. It'll be good for your grandkids. It will not make them isolationist. It will make them separated from the world unto God, a shining light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's what Paul told the Philippian people. He said, you live as shining lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I will tell you something, folks. Blending in is not much of living like a shining light. How can you blend in with a dark world and shine like a light? That ain't going to happen. Guard your heart. Have you been taught the Scriptures? Did somebody lay it out for you line upon line, precept? I told you the other night, I think I did. I appreciate the teenage girl that came to me and said, Pastor, maybe this morning, I need some material on the King James Bible. I'm the only person in my class that reads out of the King James Bible, and folks make fun of me because of it. And I'm glad this guy's going to speak on it. I taught on it years ago. I taught Wednesday night after Wednesday night after Wednesday night on the issue of the Bible. Is it really an issue? Whoa, stop, time out. What are you talking about? Is it really an issue? Hey, we have God's book right here, friend. That's the only one. It's the only one that the New Testament has been translated from the Textus Receptus. All other versions came out of the corrupt Westcott and Hort translation, Greek text. And this is God's book. He doesn't have 40 Bibles. He has one. Now, don't question it. When you start hearing stuff, seeing stuff, and boy, it begins to just sound contrary to what you've been taught. Alarms are going off. Flags are waving. Keep your heart. Run back to the Bible. What was I taught? This Scripture, this Scripture, this Scripture, this Scripture, this Scripture, this Scripture, this Scripture. Just reconfirm the principles and truths in this book and stick with it. You'll be so glad you did. You'll be so glad you did. Don't get changed like that. The direction of your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. When it comes to the direction of your heart, pay the full price. Let me say number two tonight. When it comes to, pay the full price when it comes to the development of wisdom. Now I'm talking to you young people for a little bit here, Mike. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. You're in the book of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse number 5. He says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Now watch verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, pay the full price. With all thy getting, get understanding. Notice those words, with all thy getting, pay the price. Young person, pay the price for wisdom and understanding. Pay the price. Don't look for wisdom and understanding at a discount. Don't look for wisdom and understanding on sale. Pay full price for wisdom and understanding. Be willing to have the attitude, I'm going to do what it takes to get wisdom. You see, the truth of the matter is most young people give the least amount of energy to gaining wisdom, and the most amount of energy to something else that's far less necessary. Full price is paid to something that is far inferior, far less necessary. while we hold back part of the price that should be paid for wisdom. And young people, the most important thing you can do in your life right now is to get wisdom. If you wait till you're 25 to get wisdom, you're late. If you wait till you're 35, you're really late. Because by that time, kids are already coming to your relationship and you become mom and dad. You're rearing little boys and girls. You need wisdom long before you hit childbearing time. Long before. And if you're not willing to pay full price for that, you're not going to get it. Because the wise man said, pay the full price for it. Take everything you've got. Get it with all you're getting. Read. Let me ask you a question. How much are you reading? I know, that's the problem. It's a joke to most young people. Read. Why would I read when I got a television? That's your problem. Then you hit 21 years of age and you won't have a good marriage. You're not going to get it from that tube. You're not going to get wisdom from that box on how to have a good marriage. That box is going to tell you how to have a marriage fall apart. How much are you reading? How much of the Bible are you reading? Are you reading the book of Proverbs? I'll tell you something. Every young person who's not married ought to spend the bulk of their Bible time in the book of Proverbs. Read it, reread it, reread it, reread it, reread it, reread it, and reread it, and think on a verse, and get it in your head, and let the Spirit of God... You see, you know, you read through the book one time, and you think, well, I've done my duty. Read it again. Read it again. And read it again. And read it again. And read it again. And you keep reading the book of Proverbs. Read it slowly. Read 10 verses. Read every word. Ask God to drive it deep down in your heart. This is the book of wisdom. Get wisdom, young person. Pay the full price for getting wisdom. Learn. Listen. 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 Talk to your dad. Listen to him. Listen to your Sunday school teacher. Listen in the services. Don't daydream. Get a video mind. If something's not blowing apart or dying or jumping out of the box at you, you're bored. You got a problem, friend. You're paying full price for junk that's not going to contribute anything to your livelihood. Pay the full price for wisdom. Pay for it. Be willing to pay for it. Read. Learn. Listen. Ask your dad about why he makes the decisions he makes. Why this car? Why did we do this? Why did you decide this, Dad? Talk to him. Read the book of Proverbs. Spend your devotional time in the book of Proverbs. Let it sink in. Read it slowly. Think on a verse. Look, young person, there's absolutely no need for you to go into marriage without wisdom. No need. Now, there are some things you can only learn by experience. But you ought to have some basic wisdom about marriage before you ever say, I do. And you can. And some do. You know who does? Yeah, the lucky ones. Has nothing to do with it. They paid the full price to get it. They paid the full price to get it. There's no need for you to have children and not have the wisdom to rear them for the Lord. You should know. You should know. There's enough preaching from this book. There's enough teaching from this book. And if you read the book of Proverbs enough, you'll have at least some wisdom. For when that, by the way, when that wife comes home, sir, with those words, we're going to have a baby. Let me tell you something. It sets you back a little bit. Child. Whoa. All of a sudden, we've gone from this great big playtime to responsibility. A kid. How am I going to do this? There's no need for you to go into childbearing without wisdom. There is no need for you to have a job and not have the wisdom necessary to know how to be a good employer. No need for that. Do you understand that's what the lost kids of this world are? They have no idea how to be a good worker, a good employee. They don't have any wisdom. There's no need for you to go into your financial business without wisdom. Young men, young ladies, pay the price. Pay the price. Go into marriage with a semblance of wisdom. Go into childbearing with at least some wisdom. Don't hold back the price for wisdom. It's amazing to me that young men will pay the full price for success in baseball. Success in basketball, success in football, and there is a price to pay to be successful in those athletic events. Oh, yeah, there is. And some guys are happy to do it, but I'm going to tell you something, fellas, that will not prepare you for your future. Not going to do it. You hold back the price you are willing to pay for the most necessary thing. Not according to Pastor Angel, but according to this book right here. He said, with all you're getting, you get wisdom and understanding. And he spoke that to a young man. Now do a little examination. What kind of price are you paying in school? It's not cool to make bad grades when you could make better. Do a little inventory. Are you paying the full price to get wisdom? Or what are you paying the full price for? Popularity? Be a big shot? And the less popular person, the introvert, the less outgoing guy, he's got his eyes set on getting wisdom. And he gets it. And he gets married and has a family that stays together and does right and has the blessings of God on it. You think he's lucky. Has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with the fact that when he was a kid, he set his sights on paying the full price for wisdom. Wisdom. You pay the full price when it comes to the keeping of your heart, the guarding of your heart, the direction of your heart. Pay the full price when it comes to the development of wisdom in your life. And let me say tonight, last of all, pay the full price in the deepening of your marriage relationship. Pay the full price in the deepening of your marriage relationship. Folks, there are three institutions that God started. Home, the church, and government. He started home first. And which element of the home is the very first one mentioned in the Bible? Which one? Marriage. That's the first one mentioned. In the home, you've got the element of the husband-wife relationship. You've got the element of the parent-child relationship. The very first one mentioned is the element of marriage. Ask your question. What kind of price are you paying to have a good marriage? Well, my marriage failed. Marriages don't fail. People fail. People fail. Marriages don't fail, folks. God wouldn't start something that's a failure. People fail. And people fail because they're not willing to pay the full price. There is a price that must be paid for a marriage relationship to develop. It's more than just standing up here saying I do, repeating vows, having a nice kiss, and away you go. Enjoy all that. Because when you get back, the work begins. Good marriages are developed. They're the result of people being willing to pay the full price. Full price to deepen that relationship. Two people so diametrically different, female and male, different in physique, different in emotion, different in everything, and they come together to live in the same place. And it's just going to poof. Sprinkle a little dust on this thing and it's going to just thrive. That's not how it happens. It takes a commitment on the part of the husband to pay the full price in this marriage. It takes a commitment on the part of the wife to pay the full price in the part of this marriage. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad tonight. Every independent Baptist church you go in, every church you go in has divorced and remarried people in it today. You can't unscramble an egg, folks. You are with who you are right now. If you're rightfully married to them under the law, then my goodness, give yourself to making that thing a success. Give yourself to it. Pay the full price. But you're not going to get the blessings by trying to skip. A good marriage doesn't come at a discount. They're not placed on the clearance rack. They're not found in the bargain basement. They're over there in that exclusive area where there's no discount, no sales, no dollars off. If you're going to have the full blessing of a blessed marriage, you're going to have to pay the full price for that thing to get it. And that's husband and wife. That's husband and wife. Paid the full price. Paid the full price. You say, Pastor, our marriage has hit some rocky times. We're going through some real rough waters right now. I don't know if this thing will survive. It will if you'll pay the full price. Pay the price. Pay the price. Go back, get in this book right here. Husband, find your role. Some years ago, maybe some months ago, I mentioned Sam Davidson, the pastor down in Oklahoma City. Oh, I forget the name of his church. Southwest Baptist Church, I believe it is. And he has a college down there on the other side of town from Brother Vineyard. And I heard Sam Davidson, somebody sent me a CD of a message he preached. I think Brother Brown did. And I was listening to it, and he was on the subject of marriage and talking about husbands and wives. And he said, you know, even as a preacher, as a pastor, he said, my wife and I had a tough time in our marriage. He said, it wasn't going well. He said, I went to the Bible and I told God, I'm going to search this book out and I'm going to find out the role of the husband. He said, I gave myself. Now listen to what he said. I gave myself to being everything God told me to be. And he said, it's amazing what will happen to a marriage when you line it up with the Word of God. But you've got to be willing to pay the price to do that. It works. This is the answer book, folks. This is it. The man has a role to play. The wife has a role to play. And I'll tell you what, it's not going to happen if we got 25%, 50%, 60%, 40 over here and 30 over here and 25 here and 10 over here. It's got to be 100% both spouses making the effort, pay the full price, and you can have the marriage you dreamed of having. You can have it. God wants you to have it. That's why I put this in the Bible. Well, I told the wives to submit to their husbands. And I want to tell you something, wives. It's more than just submitting and, yep, I do what I'm told. It's that spirit of submission. It is that meek and quiet spirit, which is an ornament of great price. It doesn't say meek and quiet personality. You don't have to have a... It says meek and quiet spirit. Spirit, spirit, spirit. I counsel young people who are going into marriage, and sometimes I counsel a girl who, he wants me to do this, and he wants me to do this, and not do this, and he wants me to, I don't know if I agree with all that, and I don't know. Whoa. I'm not concerned just about these specific things you've mentioned. What I'm concerned about is the spirit of submission. The spirit. My wife came to House Anderson to find a husband. She failed. Amen. But anyway, no, she came to House Anderson to find a husband. Now we had dated for January about 8 months, and I had told her that I loved her. I planned it all out. It was so romantic. We were in Georgia, sitting in the rocking chair on the front porch. The beautiful pine trees and so forth, and all the environment of the South, you know. That's enough to make you romantic, isn't it? Amen. So I was rocking there on a Sunday afternoon, and I look over at her. We used to make a small talk, you know. I said, well, Joyce, you know what? I love you. She said nothing back. I thought she didn't hear me. So I said it louder. Did you see the comic strip of those two senior citizens on the front porch rocking in the rocking chair? And he leans over and his wife looks at her and he says, I'm proud of you, Opal. She says, I'm tired of you too. Amen. Oh, my goodness. I thought she didn't hear me, so I said it louder. What I didn't know was she'd been trained in college not to respond to the first time your boyfriend tells you he loves you. That's stupid. And the person who taught that's in heaven now, and they know that's stupid. Amen? That's retarded. made me, so I, what do you do, fellas? You just spilled your guts. I even told her I love her. I get no response. It's preparation for marriage. No, I'm just kidding, Jason. I'm just saying. I tried to loosen it up. It was getting a little thick in here a little while ago. It was getting a little quiet, man. I went several weeks in it. And finally, I got a little card that said, I love you too. Of course, it made my day, you know. But so she comes back to college, and we're just taking a look. We've been together for a couple of days, and we're talking about the school year, and she says, well, you know, this will be my last year. I said, oh, really? She said, yeah. She said, I figured that I would come to school and meet the man God wanted me to marry, and then I'd go home, get a job, and save money, and be ready to get married with some money. I said, well, you know, the thing I always thought, that the girl that I married would graduate from college. Now, can I tell you, those two are not the same? Going home and making money and staying in school and getting a degree, they're not the same. But to her credit, everything changed. Said, did she agree with it? I don't know. Didn't ask her. By the way, I didn't demand it. I tossed a little statement out there. And she, in her mind, thought to herself, told me that we'll talk about this later. If this is the man that God has chosen for me, then he becomes my first priority. And if he wants me to graduate, I'm graduating. You know what you call that? You call that a submissive spirit. A spirit of submission. I'll do it. No. A spirit of submission. You take the back seat. You take the subordinate role. And you do it gladly. My mission in life is to build Him. To be what He needs. To complete Him. This is what God made me for. And I'm going to yield my everything to making my husband the happiest man in the whole world. You girls ready to go into marriage like that? Well, you know, he's got his ideas and I got mine. You better not come to the marriage altar with that kind of attitude. Because you know what? He'll have his life and you'll have yours. You'll have an existence instead of a relationship. Pay the full price. Get in this book right here. Find out. You say, you think women ought to just be doormats. You haven't been around here long enough to hear my preaching, or you haven't listened over these years. I don't believe women are doormats to be walked on. Neither do I believe that they're ideological and philosophical adversaries to the husband's head. They're made to go right here. Underneath your arm. So that you walk together through life. She's helping him. She's building him. She's complimenting him. This is her role. You say, hey, fellas, that's what I want, bless God. And I've been telling her to do that for years. You don't tell her to do it, you love her to do it. You love her into it. You love her with such a deep love. You say, how deep, Pastor? As deep as Christ loves the church. A deep love. You love her deeply. You pay the price to love her deeply. You don't quit courting her. You don't quit writing her notes. You don't quit reaching over and holding her hand. You don't quit reaching over and putting your arm. Remember before you got married, you couldn't wait to touch her. And you did so sometimes when you weren't supposed to. We went with her brother. Her brother was married. Steve and Sally. We went bowling. In the back seat. Steve and Sally in the front seat. I mean, we reached over and we did this with our pinkies. Think, you remember that thing? Don't shake your head. No, you remember that. I'm sorry. This shouldn't embarrass you. It's not embarrassing. It's wonderful. See what I mean? We're different altogether, aren't we? We help pick. Now you sit beside her in church. I don't think it's time to be inappropriate. But man, there's nothing wrong with you holding your wife's hand in church, sir. And you initiate it. Love her. Love her. Love her. Man, I tell you what. Love her with all you got. Pay the full price. pay the full price. We want a blessed marriage at a discount effort. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. We want to lollygag our way through life without paying the price to guard our hearts. And that's why some people end up way off course. Way off course. Way off course. And they die off course. And they look back over an unproductive Christian life. They weren't willing to pay the price to guard the direction of their heart. We got young people coming to marriage, going into the work area, the work world, void of wisdom. Why? Because they're not willing to pay the price to get it. Pay the price. And we got marriages in all kinds of trouble because husband and wife want a great relationship if I can find it on the clearance rack. You're not going to find it over there. You have to pay full price. Don't hold back the price. Shop for a bargain when it comes to your clothes. Shop for a bargain when it comes to a house. Shop for a bargain when it comes to a vehicle. Shop for bargains when it comes to your groceries. When it comes to God's blessing, don't look for a bargain. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. I preached longer than I wanted to. I'm sorry. Dear Spirit of God, use the message tonight to help our church, to help the people. And I pray that You'll do a good work. Lord, convict us if we need it. Step on our toes if we need it. Exhort us if we need it. Spirit of God, take the message and do with it only what You can. I pray. In Jesus' name. Anybody here tonight say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anybody like that here tonight? Would you lift your hand quickly? Anybody like that? All right. Anybody here that I've been saved but not baptized since I've been saved? Pray for me. Anybody like that here tonight? All right. In the back, God bless you. If you want to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, if you're a teenager, I can't see who you are. But if you're prepared to get baptized, you come tonight. And come right now while we wait. And we'll get you ready to get baptized while we wait. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. All right. Who's here tonight? And say, Pastor, paying the full price. Something you touched on tonight spoke to my heart. I've been looking for something, a spiritual blessing, at a discount rate on the clearance rack. I don't think I'm putting forth my best effort to guard the direction of my heart, to develop wisdom, or to deepen my marriage relationship. God spoke to me about it tonight. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Anybody like that in the room? There's a lot of hands. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Spirit of God, do a work on us. Help us, I pray, to follow You, be obedient to You. Lord, when You trim close to our hedgerow, I pray that we'll just thank You and respond rightly and with a good spirit. Lord, I pray that You'll do a good work in our hearts. These areas tonight in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, would you play us a song of invitation? Would you come tonight? Did the Spirit of God creep down your pew? Would you come tonight? That's right. I'd like to see the movement down the aisle. God's people coming tonight. Would you come? Don't be too proud, friend. Don't be too proud. I don't know what so-and-so thinks. I need to get that. Just the chorus, ladies, just the chorus, coming home, coming home.
Thank you.